Welcome along to the Three Teachers Podcast, where the goal is to elevate your English. Join hosts Ken and Andy, both experienced English teachers, as they take you on a journey to fluency. Each week, they will be joined by a special guest to share their experience and offer valuable tips and insights on all things English. And today's very special guest is teacher Ladoris from the United States, and we are going to be talking about all things pronunciation. So tune in, join the conversation, and we will help you achieve your English language goals and elevate your English. So we're going live out onto all of our platforms on Facebook, on YouTube, and a couple of Facebook accounts, YouTube as well. So hello everyone, welcome along. Hope that you're having a wonderful day today. My name's Ken. My name's Ajahn Ken. I'm a native English teacher from Scotland in the United Kingdom, and this is the Three Teachers Podcast. Today we've got Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hi, everybody. I am Andy from Andy's Everyday English, and I'm also a teacher, and I've been a teacher for about 14 years now, specialized in second language learners. I have a background in journalism, and currently I have been working for about 7 years now with the Cambridge exams, even though I have experience in other exams as well. Mm-hmm. Specifically in business English, I have speaking groups where we have, you know, daily conversations, and we can learn, like cases and vocabulary. So that's me in a nutshell.
Welcome, Andy. And we have Ladoris from the other side of the world. Ladoris, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Hi, I'm Ladoris, and I help people with their English pronunciation.
As simple as that.
That's about what it summed up to. Yes. If you want to know more, we can, but I'm going to talk more. So I just figured I'll just make a quick
synopsis. Brilliant. So where in the world? I mean, I'm here in Scotland. Andy's out in Spain. Ladoris, where are you? You're certainly not from the UK.
Yeah, I'm in the US.
Fantastic. How long have you been teaching for?
Well, offline, I have been teaching for about 8 years. And online, it's been about, it'll be 3 years in June.
Uh-huh. 3 years. Fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah, on social media.
Brilliant. Well, I've been teaching what, for 15 years, and I've taught all around the world. I think I've visited about 56 countries. In the last 10 years, I was teaching out in Asia. I was teaching university graduates how to prepare for interviews as cabin crew and flight attendants. So I did that for 10 years. And then just before the pandemic happened, I came back to Scotland and I got captured. And I couldn't leave the country, so I ended up just staying here in the UK. So today's
Sorry, can I cut you? All right, no, I like the fact that Ladoris was like offline and online, because it is true. I kind of like already forgotten, you know, like all the years that we have done offline, and since we transitioned so smoothly into, well, I hope smoothly. For me, it was actually quite natural to transition, you know, from offline to online. So, yeah, thank you for reminding me that. It was kind of like, oh, yes, there was a before.
Yes, absolutely. And it was not a smooth transition for me. It was quite a journey.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at university when it all happened, and we were doing a course at the university, and all of a sudden we were told, right, go home, and everything's going to be online from now on. And I had to teach and also learn online at the same time. My God, it was horrific, you know, at the beginning, but it's fantastic now.
It's fantastic. And I think that this actually opens the door to today's conversation, today's topic. Can you let's introduce it?
Yeah, well, every week we have different topics, and it comes from various questions that I'm asked on my Instagram and Facebook channels. And one of the big ones, one of the big topics is pronunciation, because everyone wants to speak perfect English, right? And I can totally understand why this can be difficult for some English learners. So today's topic is the secret sauce to improve your pronunciation. And thank goodness we have Lidoris here, the expert in pronunciation, yeah? Fantastic. So if there's any, yes. if people are watching and they have questions, throw them in as well. We'll be going through some questions that our students have asked us in the past, yeah? So we'll fire into the questions. And the first one we've got is the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question. How can I improve pronunciation? How can I improve my pronunciation? Oh, my God. Everyone wants to speak smooth and fluent. Lidoris, do you want to take this away? And your expertise, how can someone improve their pronunciation?
Oh, okay. This gets my heart excited, okay? So let me just... tell me if I'm speaking too fast. You guys can tell me in the chat, say, hey, slow down, or whatever the case may be. One thing that, let me just say this first, okay? I'm not trying to be cynical or anything like that, but one thing that bothers me about English pronunciation is that when we have all of these videos to watch online, but they're not placed in order. So when foreigners come and they start clicking on all of these videos, they want to learn every sound that there is, and they get confused, like, and overwhelmed because all of these videos are at their disposal. But one thing that I suggest is focus on just one or two sounds, the ones you actually know. You don't need a professional to actually tell you this sound is causing you trouble, okay? It's a thorn in your side. This is a sound that makes you cringe when you speak. You're like, oh my gosh, what happened? Or you can watch people's facial expressions. When you are speaking, they actually give you feedback when they don't understand. Or they will make some kind, they will kind of pause or say, What did you say? Well, take note. What word did you say? What sound did that word have in it that you know will have giving you some kind of problems? Like, for an instance, the most common ones that give people problems is the letter R and the TH. And it really doesn't matter where people are from around the globe. There's Africans who I work with that have trouble with the R and the TH. There's Hispanics. And then we have people from Indonesia and all of those places. So it really doesn't matter. I know some people say, well, I'm from this part of the world, so I possibly can't, you know, have, I should be like special and nobody else has this issue. Well, I hate to tell you this, but your case is not special. it's normal.
Probably you ruined this person's, you know, like, oh no, I'm not special anymore.
You're not special. I tell everybody that I meet, because the number one question is, do you think that I can speak better English? And I always answer yes. Because you're not special. Like, I have this, all of my clients have the same issue, English pronunciation. And I handle it the same way. Everybody goes through the same process. So it doesn't matter how you speak or what language you speak, you're going to come out with the same results. It just may take longer, or you may have to work harder, or whatever it is, but it's all pretty much the same issue.
And your experience, what's been the... You mentioned there the R and the TH sound. In your experience, has that been the biggest kind of stumbling block for people that are learning?
Well, when we're talking about English sounds, yes. But when we're talking about, there's a lot more to it. We see a lot of videos just focused on pronunciation, which that's what draws people in. But there's a lot more to it. We have the melody of English. We have the rhythm. We have intonation. And we also have like some public speaking skills that actually plays a part into it, because speaking is like an art. There's a science to it. And so when we factor in, you know, the pauses that we have to do, because sometimes the accent makes us trip over our words and we're like stumbling, trying not to fall. But the issue is that we see people saying how to speak English fast. And we everybody has their own perception. What does that actually mean? Speak fast. Oh, yeah. I think I need to speak like this because Americans do this too. Oh my gosh. And I have those clients that say that. And then I also have the clients where that say, if I don't speak fast, they're not going to want to talk to me. Mm. Wrong. False. Mm. Uh-huh. If they can understand you, they're not going to want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. That the number one thing, and I hate to sound selfish, is you want to be able to get what you need from somebody else, and they want to be able to get what they need from you.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why we communicate, is to express ourselves. So I think that's the top one. Get your point across. How can you do that? It's by speaking clear.
Yeah. Andy, what do you think?
It's just that there's a lot to take in. And I mean, I am a little biased because I love Ladoris, and whatever she says, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever you say, Ladoris. But,
no, you can disagree with me, I promise.
No, it's fine. I will. I'm the kind of person that I am very transparent in that matter. But the thing is that for me, it's kind of like hard to disagree with what you're saying, especially because based on my experience as a teacher and a learner myself, I've lived that. I've experienced it. And one of the things that for me, it's worrying when it comes to the world and the universe of the internet is that there is so much information. And as a consumer of the internet, I sometimes don't know really what is it that's right or what is it that's wrong. I don't know what is the quality information, and here's like the journalists, you know, like speaking like, okay, always, you know, be sure of the source. Like a lot of our students don't know very well if they are in front of a teacher who actually is certified, experienced, and actually do know what is it that they're talking about, or they're just in front of a person who have read, you know, like Pronunciation for Dummies, and that's it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And unfortunately, moreover, students don't want to learn the technicality of it. We want to consume it, and we want it fast. We want it done. And I mean, the long story, they don't want to hear about it. When it comes to pronunciation, you actually have to take a step back and actually see the big picture, because one of the things that I cringe, you know, every time that I see is kind of like American pronunciation versus British pronunciation.
Yeah,
I know. And this is like, for practical reasons, it's kind of like the easiest way to teach vocabulary and, you know, like to just make it flow, right? But here is where I call people's senses. Like, okay, there is so much behind it. I mean, there are so many teachers out there that, and not only teachers, I mean, me as a consumer of the language, I am the kind of person that I would say, oh, so then can I mix? Who's going to answer that question? If you're a second language learner, is it all right if I mix, you know, pronunciations? And then, as you said, accent gets in the way, because pronunciation and accent, even though they are two separate things, but one's influenced the other. So there are so many things that you have to factor in that are really interesting. So slow down. I think that in order to better your pronunciation, you got to slow down. And when you mentioned about when you were talking, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. We're listening.
Sorry, my internet got like frozen.
No, fire away.
So the thing is that I lost the train of thoughts. No, okay. Sorry. What I was saying was that when you're trying to, you know, like work on your pronunciation, what is it that you want first? You as a consumer of the language, you, the person who, as a second language learner, I mean, okay, what is it exactly that you want to pursue in order to focus yourself and verse yourself on it first? And then we can work from there. Because otherwise it's going to be too complicated. There are like too many things that you have to factor in. I don't know if you guys, you know, agree with me, if you're like seeing what I'm trying to go through here?
Yeah, that. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I was going to say, I think with pronunciation is, in my own experience, when I speak a couple of languages, and I had to kind of take my English or my Scottish head off and put a Thai, when I was living in Thailand, I had to put a Thai head on and actually become a Thai person and how they actually speak. I recall one time I was in a taxi and I said to the taxi driver in the Thai language, but with British pronunciation, I said, "Bai Central, Lad Prao," which means I want to go to the shopping mall, Central Lad Prao. And the taxi driver looked behind and he was like, "What? What are you saying?" So I had to take this head off and put this head on, this Thai head, and go, "Bai Santan," in this kind of same pronunciation as the Thai people would say. And the taxi driver was like, "Okay, yep, okay, I know exactly where you are," kind of off you go. I think it comes back to the pronunciation is make sure that you're getting yourself, you know, understood and you're communicating exactly what you want to say is the most important thing, I feel, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We have a question. "I hate my accent. How can I speak like a native English speaker?" Oh my God, I hate my accent. Who hates their accent?
Oh my, well.
I always, I quite like my accent, you know. I come from Britain, but I have a Scottish accent, you know. And because it's not the typical RP English accent, people get, are you from Germany? Are you from France? Are you from Russia? So, but I can understand by speaking to so many students from around the world, you know, and being in classrooms around the world, that a lot of them say, "Teacher, I just want to get rid of this Thai accent or this Spanish accent, and I want to have this, you know, perfect English accent." Mm-hmm. What's your views on accents, Ladoris?
Well, first I want to say that I love your accent. Like, I can just listen to that. I can listen to you speak all day long.
Thanks.
Yes, and I speak a little bit of Spanish, so
really,
Andy may be able to help correct my. You speak Spanish, right, Andy?
Yeah, I'm bilingual.
Yes. Okay. So I love Hispanic accent as well. So,
you know, I was going to say, Doris, I've never really spoken to anyone from the south of the United States. Really, you know, I'm quite ignorant in that respect. You know, when I always think of an American accent, I'm always thinking of, I guess it must be the Northeast of America, the kind of New York kind of dull accent, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They say that the Southerners are not smart and they draw out the word. They draw out their words. Like, we're just so slow.
That's because it's roasting hot down there, I guess. So everyone's kind of laid back. Is that right?
Yeah. And we don't have a lot of snow either. Our winter is like almost a month. It may be a month.
Uh-huh.
It's not long at all. We barely see snow. Maybe we'll see snow like every few years. So
what?
Like the south is really warm.
Every few years?
Yeah, every few years.
My
we don't
goodness.
See snow every year. Yeah, so just to jump on this, I hate my accent. This just stirs up something in my soul here, okay?
Uh-huh.
First of all, if I have a client that comes in and say that I hate my accent, I can't stand to listen to myself. I just stop them because I don't think they actually hate their accent. I think that what they really mean is that they can't stand the way that they speak English and not be understood with their accent. So all I can say is change the way that you speak your words. It's very important about how we speak. It's important about how that person feels when we kind of like transcend or transfer our words to somebody else, because we can either make somebody feel uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
We can either make ourselves feel encouraged, or we can actually start weighing people down. And when I hear this phrase from my clients or even from somebody else, "I hate my accent," what else do you hate about yourself? Like, how else are you
feeling? Sad.
Like,
that's very sad, isn't it?
It is very sad. And it makes me feel bogged down. I don't feel excited. Like, So I get my clients quiet and I tell them, I don't want to ever hear you say that again. Number one, especially since you're work, like, when you see me, don't say that.
Uh-huh.
The next thing is we start to get quiet and we start to understand. Let's go back to that scenario that you have in your head when you started to say, I hate my accent. What actually happened? And so we do a lot of work with our emotions on how to manage them, because there used to be a time where I hated the way I spoke as well. I hated the way I looked. I hated the way whatever it was. And I had to get like honest with myself and start telling myself the opposite. So I tell my clients, yeah, you may think that, but let's change that phrase around and see if we can actually start helping you like glide through life, glide through speaking English, make it easier for you. So that's the first thing that I want to say is start writing your emotions down, go back to the scenarios and see when you what happened. Okay. Analyze it. The next thing is that I want to encourage everybody, speak English with your accent. Don't try to get rid of it. My clients don't pay me to get rid of their accent. I help them speak English clearer with the accent they already have. My job is not to eliminate. If you want somebody to eliminate your accent, go find somebody else to do intensive work for the next 10 years. That's what I say. It's not as fast. It takes my clients 12 weeks to improve their pronunciation, but to get rid of an accent, it takes years. Okay.
It takes years, doesn't it? I think, in the UK, I was going to say in the UK, you know, football or soccer's the big game here, you know, and especially down in England, there is an influx of foreign football players. Some of these guys have been playing football in the UK for a decade or more, you know, but still they have this, you know, they have their local accent, but they speak perfect English with it, you know. So even if you're in the UK or in an English speaking country, it's still really difficult to have that perfect kind of accent, the perfect local accent, unless you're born and raised in that country, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that when we're speaking about our accent, some people have in their mind too, I get sometimes here and there I get the hate. I don't want to lose my accent. We have that the other side. I want to keep my accent because it tells people where I'm from and it's a part of my culture and it's a part of who I am. It's a part of their identity. And I tell people the thing is because they don't understand that it takes intensive training to actually get rid of it.
Yeah.
And if you were to lose it and you get back around where you worked hard to lose it per se, when you get back around your family and you hear people and you start to feel comfortable, you're going to speak your accent again. You're not going to continue speaking with an American accent or British accent, whatever it is, because your brain does this natural switch unless you are intentional about never switching back. It's that argument. They don't understand. They think they have a point, but they actually don't.
I think in Spain, you know, they have this in the south of Spain, they have this amazing dialect and it's also an accent as well, but they're actually changing the words. Instead of saying dos, they'll say daw. And the dialect actually overtakes the accent. And I think when people want to get rid of their accent, I feel that they have to really find someone that they like the sound of and just copy them. You're never going to be a native speaker, but you're going to have the certain characteristics that a native speaker does have, right?
Yeah, there are like very different perspectives. Because in my case, for example, I grew up in a multilingual home. It's not just bilingual. I'm talking about a multilingual home where English was the main language, and then
how many languages? How many languages, Andy?
Four at the time when I was growing up, because my parents, they were all the time speaking in English, and then of course Spanish was like, they're kind of like, yo voy a hablar también, and everybody's going to be like, I'm going to be here too. And then of course on each parent's side, you know, their background was always there knocking the door, kind of like, I'm here too, you know, not just with the spoken language, but also the non-spoken language, which is also very important, because when we acquire a language, we forget that it's not just what comes out of your mouth, it's everything with it. And and that's the thing, you know. And when I talk about four languages, is because most of my childhood, because my parents were transferred at the time we were living in Indonesia. And my sister was born there. She was born in Jakarta. I was born in Denmark. Go figure. And
is that right? I didn't know this. Denmark.
Yeah, I always tell my sister that she's adopted. You know, kind of like, do you see we went there? I'm adopted. And she laughs. She's kind of like, I hate you. But that's, anyways, inner sister jokes. But the truth is that I say four because I include, you know, the language of the woman who raised me until I was seven, and it's my nanny. You know, her name is Sulika, and she's Indonesian. And back then I was speaking Indonesian. I was speaking English mainly. And then second place, Spanish, and then very few Italian. Italian actually came when I was, you know, later on in life. So what I'm trying to say here is that when you consciously learn a language, you already have built this certain codes that are built in your brain. And not only in your brain, there are like some articulations that your face and the sounds are there, not only just the sound, but emotionally speaking too. A language is a feeling, it's an emotion. So in this case, when we're talking about linking, for instance, if you ask me, I mean, like, how do you sound in English? If you ask me, I don't know. I honestly have no clue. I mean, like, do I sound like American-ish or whatever? Because that's the influence I've gotten. But from where exactly? Because if we're talking about the US, we're talking about over 30 dialects that are, you know, like recognized, not even to mention, you know, that we've got, you know, like very four popular known accents that everybody knows, and we were talking about those before. I want to talk about identity when it comes about this, you know, like, because in the question, and I don't know if you can show it again, Ken, I hate my accent. How can I sound like a native? I think that there's like, it's so wrong in so many levels, because look, the hate about the accent, it's not you, as LaDori said, you don't hate the accent, you hate the fact how other people's make you feel.
That's exactly right. That's absolutely.
How you translate it, and that's what is wrong. So we have to reshift that. And then how can I sound like a native? Technically speaking, you're never gonna. This is just a reality.
Sorry to disappoint you all.
I'm sorry, because there is always going to be a Karen out there in the wild that is going to tell
me what a Karen is. Andy, tell me what a Karen is, because non-natives don't know what Karens are. Tell me.
I brought it up on purpose. Okay, a Karen is, you know, usually an obnoxious person with a specific description, like middle-aged or something, that behaves in, well, just crazy, lunatic way.
Purposely confrontational.
Very confrontational. It's, you know, like, you guys are used to the internet. Those ladies, and there are also male Karens out there as well, that like to record you just because, and they feel that they're entitled to do so. Anyways, that's the Karen. So there's always going to be this kind of people out there that are going to ask you the typical question, like, where are you from? But really, really from?
All right.
And I've been asked this question my whole life, because I look myself in the mirror and I think that I translate that again, you know, to my students, and kind of like, that's why I like to bring to the classroom a different philosophy. It's kind of like, you're just a human being that belongs to this planet. If, you know, like the social content that comes with it, we are just gonna have a fresh start in our classroom, because it doesn't belong here, right? They're having here like really nice comments. It took me more than one month to adapt to Singapore English and understand what they want from me. Singaporean claim to be native English speakers. Mm-hmm. Later, I was working with guys from Manchester, and I had again to learn and adapt. Well, I think that that's what happens when we're second language learners, or third language learners, or second language learners, whatever it happens, when it comes to languages in the process. I don't know if you guys are with me here. We code switch all the time. It doesn't even have to be in the same language. You code switch when you're talking to your parents, because you don't speak the same lingo when you're with your parents as if you're with your friends or co-workers, for example. You code switch all the time, and this has a lot to do with that. So I don't know if we're, you know, like maybe going around the bush, perhaps.
Well, no, I mean, certainly in my experience, I deal with university graduates, and they try to get to a certain level, and I think it's come back to what Ladora said. Because they had like a Thai accent from Thailand, their pronunciation would be different. They would stress the final syllable in a word, for example, you know, like instead of saying university, they would say university. And we almost had to kind of beat that out of them, or they wanted that beaten out of them, because if they started speaking English with that accent, they felt that people would look down on them. Or you're just a Thai person, you're not really kind of a proper English speaker, you know? So again, it comes back to having the confidence, what you guys were saying, having the confidence in yourself, you know, to improve. So Andy, what's the next question?
Well, the next question would be how to improve pronunciation skills. And I think that this is really important. And here is where we're going to, you know, give you the floor, Ladoris, because I mean, who better than you?
Is this the expert, Ladoris? Yeah, come on.
All right. So I'm going to actually give you guys can actually steal my plan here. Okay. I'm going to give you the information that I actually use to help my clients out. Okay. Uh-huh. I teach them in three parts.
Uh-huh.
The first one is English pronunciation. We mentioned it earlier about how we need to identify which sounds are actually giving us the blues. Okay. We don't want to say those sounds. We avoid them, or whatever the case may be. Okay. That's step number one. Once you figure that out, you need to start reading out loud. And I tell my clients 5 minutes max. Okay. We're not looking for a long extended period of time to where you're going to actually lose your focus. You want to actually be present as much as possible. So 5 minutes, hey, that's good enough, okay? So once you are doing that, I want you to actually think about where you are going to place your tongue, okay? You're going to have to find this out. How you are going to shape your lips. I saw a video the other day where this guy was teaching English pronunciation, and he said that the shape of your lips does not matter about English pronunciation. Absolutely incorrect. Mm-hmm. That is the most worst advice I can. Don't ever take that advice. Okay. it matters, because if we, let's just say that we try to say an A vowel with the sound of an O or a sound of a U, you're going to hear a difference. It may be subtle, but it adds up. So what I like to tell my clients is for the next part is that we focus on how sounds are reduced. These are sounds, words, and everything, okay? So when we look at this, you'll notice you can go through like a paragraph in a book that you're just practicing 5 minutes, okay? You are going to start identifying, say these words out loud, because you can actually do it yourself without watching a whole lot of videos. look at the word, okay? If the word is supposed to be hat, okay? Simple example, but this will work. Now, what are the two sounds for the A? It can be a long vowel or a short vowel, okay? And there, and let me just throw this pro tip in there. When we are talking about accents, improving our accents, there is no such thing as long and short vowels. There's only long vowels because it helps reduce your accent, okay?
Oh, interesting.
Yes, very interesting. And so let's go back to the point about how we identify if the sound has changed. So when we're looking at this word hat, well, which way? Okay, so the long A is hate, okay? But it doesn't have an E on the end. It has a T. So hat is short, okay? Now, if we have another word like, let's see here, pencil. With the first vowel, we have an E. We have an option of that E sounding like E, or a, right? We know that those two. And so when we hear, when we see that and it doesn't actually make that sound, that means that the sound has been reduced or changed, okay? So then you start to underline that word and you say, so I need to make sure, keep a mental note that that word has changed. So when I speak that word out loud, this is the point of reading out loud for 5 minutes. You start to notice how many words in one paragraph, and that's, I mean, in 4 to 6 sentences have changed. And this is why people can't understand you. It's because we have, out of all those words, it may be, I don't know, 50 to 75 words. And I don't know, let's say 50% of those have changed. Well, that's your answer. You're speaking all of these sounds and words wrong. So you have to go through and start making yourself aware, okay? So that's part two. Part three of the training, and I'm about to lose my train of thought here. I train them how to understand how to link sounds together, okay?
That is one of the most crucial things, I feel, you know, is linking the sounds together, Ladoris,
Yes, but it has to go in order. So the reason why I train my clients like this is because I can't teach you out of order, because if I teach you how to link sounds together, but you don't know where to place your tongue, how to shape your mouth, then you're going to be absolutely confused, okay? So I hope you guys are taking notes, because this just, I just blessed your life, okay? This just blessed your soul. So so once you learn how to link sounds, there's three parts, okay? So we have linking consonant to consonant. Go find a video on that. Linking consonant to vowels. And then we also have vowel to vowels, okay? So when we are talking about linking sounds in American English, go research those three sounds.
Because say that again, Ladoris. Again, just so people remember, linking consonant to...
consonant to consonant. Consonant to vowel. And vowel to vowel.
To vowel. Brilliant.
Now, when you are on the third part of your training with this one paragraph that you're practicing a day, okay, you may even want to study, depending on your level, study that same paragraph for a whole week, because I'm telling you guys these steps, but it takes us 12 hours to get through this work. And that's just if my clients don't want to take the option, which they always do, they take the extra hour a week that I give them. So most of them are practicing 2 hours a week. Okay. So this 5 minutes is for something for you to be consistent with. Okay. Cause you don't have somebody telling you, come sign in class and let's do this together. Okay. So once you do that, you go through those stages that I just told you, and you start working through that. And it doesn't matter how long it takes you. Give yourself 3 months. Okay, to work through that. Take Saturdays and Sundays off. Your brain needs a break. Okay. All right. So that's what I do to help my clients improve their pronunciation.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Brilliant. I think
that's beautiful. Andy, go on.
No, I think that's beautiful, especially because as a coach and certified teacher, I missed so much in trainings and formal phonetics trainings for teachers, so we don't become like giant red flags walking through the internet, especially because I don't know if you guys back me up here, but you agree, but there are like a lot of teachers out there that they like to follow their intuition a lot. And when it comes to phonetics, intuition is not the key. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
It's a science, right? It's a science.
Exactly. And I say this because I just know a very tiny little bit when it comes to pronunciation. And I think that to me, that's incredibly fascinating, and I've read about it. But for instance, if I want to learn anything about the International Phonetic Alphabet, I have to sit down and work on it. But as an English student, as a second language learner, for example, what is kind of like the express train that I can take in order to, like, because people unfortunately don't like to sit down and do the work. It's kind of like, you know, one out of 10 who will, you know, like sit down and do the work, right? So anyways, the thing is that what I would say is work on dialogues and work also on what you have heard probably very often, the shadowing technique. Because in this case, you are training your listening skills. Yes, you're working on your listening skills in order to produce your vocals. So in this case, I think that it's kind of like, without being too technical, you can just go ahead and do it. But it is important for you to know that you're going to still sound like yourself. That accent thing that maybe you might be worried about, it doesn't brush off so easily if you are if you're thinking that that is what you want to work on. So rather than, you know, focusing on accent, I would suggest to focus on clarity when it comes to pronunciation, and to work your enunciation so the other person, regardless from where they're from, can understand you. In the end, remember that the minority, yes, there are like millions of native speakers, but the majority are of English speakers are second language learners out there. So,
I was going to say the part about kind of exercising your language, Ladora says about, you know, reading for five minutes every day. When I was learning Spanish, I used to read for about 15 minutes every day in the morning with my coffee and my toast, you know. Me llamo Kenyo, tengo 20, and I would speak Spanish for those, you know, 10 minutes from the newspaper, you know. What a difference exercising your language really makes, you know. When I went home, I would start listening to the radio, and then I would start picking up the words and the, you know, the individual words on the radio, and I would start picking up the accent and the proper pronunciation. Such a key thing to do is practice speaking aloud. It's such an amazing thing that will really improve, you know, English learners, you know. Fantastic. I was going to say, the big question I want to ask is this one. Can I put it up? And it's for Ladoris. Where are we? Is it back here? It is this one here. I don't want to give up the pass on the opportunity of speaking to a real life American person and knowing the difference between British and American pronunciation. I want to know. Tell me, what, Ladoris, what do you think about the difference in American and British pronunciation? Is it important to know the difference? And which one do you prefer? Dun, 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 dun.
Well, which one do I prefer? American English. I'm not biased, I promise. I really am not.
It's just a fact, isn't it? It's just a fact, right?
But no, there's this battle on social media, and it's only for views, guys, that which one is better? Who cares? Pick one and go with it. Because I am not going to be heard if you choose British pronunciation, because I am not living your life. Your ears are perked up by one of the two, but you cannot mix the two. They do not belong together. They are separate individuals. They are not a couple, okay? You cannot say British English and then come over and use American English in the same sentence. I may know what you're talking about because we may use some of the same words, but once you start going outside of the American English boundaries that we have set. I'm going to ask you, what did you just say? I'm in a group. I'm in a group where I am a leader. There are like 240 English learners, whatever. And I'm one of the American English leaders that helps teach and correct them. Okay. Well, there is a British person in there, and then there's the American. So we have people who are asking, and sometimes we get confused because we don't know which one they're asking for. So now we just give both and people just choose. So I just say, just choose which one, don't mix the two.
Andy, what about you? oh my God.
I told you, I'm very transparent. I'm sorry. Okay, that's it. That was my opinion. That's it. Look, the thing is that I think that it's kind of like absurd, really absurd when we talk about like British pronunciation and American pronunciation, especially because we're giving this, it is, first of all, a broad, very commercial, you know, marketing thing that it's out there in order to simplify and, you know, like give the stage to some accents over others, because then there are like many other Englishes out there that they need to be celebrated as well. There are many countries around the globe that they are
Australian native. English is just English on a different level. Australian English, you know, have you of heard course. Some of the vocabulary coming from Australia? Unbelievable.
Yes, there are many. There are many African countries that their main language, their native language is English, and a lot of people simply ignore this because of the fact that we keep on celebrating this kind of thing. So, anyways, I know that it's gonna. We just have to inform ourselves. We have to be very careful with what we learn, especially because we have to learn how to. You know, take the good from what we see on the internet, but especially try to work with our common sense when it comes about learning the language, just because of, you know, clarity purposes. Yeah. That's it. That's what I would say.
Well, Adoris, do you know the difference? Can you pick up the difference in different accents from the UK? Like from London or the north of England or Scotland, can you pick up any differences at all?
I don't necessarily pay attention to them. I just know that they're from that area.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you can differentiate, right? Or that this?
I can. Right, okay. Yeah, I have fun with myself, and I try to play a game. It's only in my head, guys. But I try to. Because I'm just fascinated. Before I actually started teaching people English pronunciation, because I went to school for this. I didn't just pop up one day and said, hey, here I go. Let me teach you how to speak properly. I actually have a degree that I paid for. But I didn't go to grad school. And my husband and I chose for me to stay at home with my kids. So I've been at home for what's going on 13 years now, but I wanted something to do and to still use my gifts. So this is why I'm on social media. But yeah, I have been having foreigner friends. I don't know what to call it. I hate to say it that way because I don't want to offend anybody, but I have had friends from different countries dating way back from like kindergarten, first grade. And so I've always been drawn to people from different places. And so I just try to choose where or play this game in my head. Where is that person from? And if I'm right, most of the time I am, but I could be wrong. Uh-huh. But yeah, I play that game with myself.
You know, the American accent, there's a TV show called House. House the Doctor, you know, and the guy who plays House is a really famous comedian actor in the UK. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him on that, I thought, my God, what an amazing accent that guy had, you know. And so I looked on online and I was trying to find out where is his accent. But he had this generic American accent from the Midwest, apparently, you know. So I'm trying to pick up American accents, but I only know the south of America and south of United States, sorry, and the northeast of the United. The rest of the time, I wouldn't have a clue where anyone comes from, you know. No idea, yeah. You know.
Well, if you were interested, you could do it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The main difference in pronunciation I hear between British vowels are kind of rounded vowels like can't and do, mm-hmm. you know, whereas the American ones are kind of long and flat, like mm-hmm. dog and door.
Now that you mentioned that, it is really it came to my attention when I moved to Spain that a lot of students, they have no idea that silent letters exist. Mm. This is not taught mm-hmm. in schools or academies, really. They don't really teach it in that way because they have like this style as if they were natives. And I uh-huh. think, of course, this is why we need to have certified teachers, everybody. You know, like being native, which is one, marketing thing, is not enough. They don't know that silent letters exist. And I think that it can shorten the way, you know, so much. And you can understand that, for example, if I say butter, which is how naturally I would say that word, you can simply explain that, for instance, that consonant at the end, right? It might or might be stronger or not if it's pronounced with a different accent. And that's it, right? Mm. Well, a lot of people ignore that. And that's one of the things that I insist that should be taught.
Yeah.
At least mentally for the student, they can understand that it's an external factor and not them. This is what I always tell my students. It's not you. It's mm-hmm. the language. Yeah. So yeah, this is important, I guess.
Good. I was going to ask you one last thing, actually. I'm dying to hear this. This pronunciation here. Oh. Right. Can you see this one?
Yes.
Yeah. This really, American English and British English is quite different on a couple of these words, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like we've got through, tough, thorough. You don't say thorough, do you?
Thorough.
What do you say?
Thorough.
Thorough. All right. Okay.
I could be wrong, but.
Thorough, tough. Through, tough, thorough, thoroughly, and though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How would you pronounce these words, Ladoris?
Oh, I was shaking my head yes because you were saying them right.
All right. No, it's just that I've heard sometimes the American accent or the American pronunciation is different on these words.
Okay. So I can just go through it for you. Through.
Yeah. Through. Mm-hmm.
Tough.
Uh-huh.
Thorough.
Thorough, uh-huh. did you say? Thorough, uh-huh.
Yes. Thoroughly.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the last one.
Though.
Though?
Is that though? Yeah.
I guess it's though. All right, even though. Yes. I was like, what? I don't know that word. It's though. Yes, I do know that word.
Fantastic.
Hey, listen, this is really good. I posted something about the GH pronunciation guide yesterday. Just a little snippet part of it, okay? So would you like to know something interesting about the GH?
Please tell us.
Okay. All right. Listen. All right. I'll keep this short because, like I said, I can talk about English pronunciation all day, every day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So when the GH is in the initial position, it's uh-huh. pronounced as a G. Okay.
When it's in the initial position, what do you mean?
In the beginning. So like the
all right,
first
all right, one. Okay.
Uh-huh, so like uh-huh. when we have the word ghost, ghetto, those words are just G. Okay.
Right.
So uh-huh. when we have it in the middle position, mm-hmm. we call that like silent, as in like daughter. We have the word, let's see if we have any middle positions here. Thoroughly, that GH is sort of in the middle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So when we have it in the final position, you can pronounce it as an F. Okay. But not all the time, because there are exceptions, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's see here. So like an exception will be this right here. Through.
Uh-huh.
Tough. That's an F.
F.
Mm-hmm. Thorough. Though. Okay. So we don't have any more. But you can pronounce it as an F, but you
like
just
like rough
to...
and tough and cough and all of these words.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Fantastic. Yeah. So at the beginning, GH at the beginning is a G sound, a G sound. G. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In the center, it's silent.
In the what?
In the center of the word, it's silent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And at the end, mostly, it will be an F, yeah?
Mostly, isn't it? Yes.
But as in English, we never follow the rules 100% of the time.
We never, we're rule breakers.
Yeah. Which comes with the language, by the way, because we are the language of exceptions, right?
Exactly.
That's why, you know, I'm always like, sorry, guys, here comes an exception.
Yes, and American English comes from, I mean, we have taken from every language pot.
Uh-huh.
Not every, but we've taken from a lot of them. So that's
why. Do you feel American English is a simplified English compared to the British version?
Oof. I don't know if I can call it simplified.
Oh, really?
No, I don't feel like I can do that. I feel like if I was like before I started helping people speak English clear, I thought it was. And I thought it was a straightforward, but that's only because I was raised speaking the language and I didn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But speaking to foreigners, I mean, if you wasn't raised in it and now you are an adult, it's not so simplified.
Right.
Now, one simplified language that I can tell you about is Chinese. They are the most straightforward language. Like it is no fluff. And I love it. I mean, it could be complicated because of the tones that we have. And I say that we have because I'm learning the language. But Chinese is more straightforward than American English.
What do you mean? The structure of the sentences?
The structure of the sentences, yes.
Yeah,
I'm not a advanced. I'm not intermediate. I'm just a beginner. But for my observation, that's what it is. That's how I feel.
I think because English has been a kind of amalgam of, you know, the various kind of languages before. We've got like the Latin language and we've got the old, what do you call it? The old, from the northern of Europe, language.
Germanic,
that's the word I'm looking for, Germanic.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got like northern Germanic all kind of mingled in together, which is why I was saying the British kind of English is very, you know, with the GHTs and everything like that. In America, you don't really use that. You just say ITE for the end of like night, for example. I always found that Americans very simple because it was a country of immigrants right at the very beginning and everybody tried to speak as simple as possible, I would guess, so that people understood.
Yes, I didn't get into that part of the GH. It follows a vowel. That's a whole different lesson. The GH by itself can be a 20-minute lesson.
Brilliant.
Which is wonderful.
Great stuff.
I love that.
Excellent. So we're about to run out of time. Yeah, please do.
I want to answer that question about naked and baked.
Yeah, this one here. Why is the pronunciation of baked and naked different? I was going
to let me help my friends out. Okay. So the reason is because baked is like I baked yesterday. It's past tense. Okay. So there are some rules for that. Before I get to that, let's talk about the word naked. I am not naked. Like I'm clothed. I clothed myself today. Okay. It's an adjective.
Yeah.
So the reason why it's pronounced different is because naked is not past tense. I can't say I was naked. Like I can't even make it a verb.
Yeah.
So it's nothing past tense about it. The reason why we are confused sometimes when I hear all kinds of endings for the ED, and it's perfectly fine because you are learning. I'm learning every day. It's perfectly fine. Okay. So how we pronounce the ED at the end of words is we look at the last consonant. before the ED.
Yeah.
And that determines which category it falls under. Now, that could be an easier way, maybe the voice or the voiceless consonant, and you can tell which category it falls under. But this is just the way that, I teach it, okay? So if it has a T or a D sound or an ID sound, those are actually the three categories. I started off the wrong way, but those are the three ways, okay, that the ED is pronounced. So if it says ID, like needed, that's under the D. It has the D comes before the ED, and so it's pronounced ID. Baked is pronounced with the T at the end because that consonant K falls under the T sound category. And then we have the D as in like banned. Okay, I was banned from social media because I couldn't stop cussing. Like, not true, but that's just a, that's just an example. So when you are confused, figure out, there's a list for it. Just Google it, how to pronounce the endings of E, or how to pronounce ED endings, and you'll find your answer.
Yeah. So baked is basically a verb and naked would be the adjective. Yeah.
Correct.
And this is why they are pronounced differently. Perfect. Great stuff.
Yes.
Okay, guys, we're running out of time here. So how would we like to finish? Ladoris, do you want to finish on a high for us?
Well, what do you want me to say?
A motto.
To keep
motivation, you know, going when it comes to working your pronunciation. Something like that.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the motivation, you can, people say, let me remember why you're doing this and remember the reason why you want to continue improving your pronunciation. That works for just a hot second, like, because once you start to practice and you, and it starts to become tedious, I mean, you know, all I can say is that you have to remember, like, your goal. Your goal is to be understood. You actually need this to be, to communicate with another part of the world. Like, you're not just, if, especially if you are using this for a profession, you don't want to go to work and not understand people, not be understood. So your goal is to actually, like, I hate to say, get paid, like, to keep your job. And so this is a long-term game here. And so if you can actually get out of the, like the, they say they use this idiom in English, like the microwave mentality. Wanting something really fast and quick. And that's my issue with social media, is that everything has to be fast and quick when it's hard to teach English pronunciation on a flash or in a whip or whatever the phrase is. So if you can get the mentality of this is for the long run, and I'm going to stay in the game and I just focus on what I need to for me and stay focused on that, you can last longer versus just trying to do something really quick. Cause this isn't a fast game to be played. It's something to stick with. Okay.
So you have the play the long-term game with your goal, but have short-term steps and improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if you need help, like, can I offer this? Like, people,
please do.
If you want help, send me an audio, and I like for it to be 30 seconds minimum, a minute max, because there's so much details within that time.
Yeah. Okay? All right.
If you want help, send me an audio and I can give you the direction that you need to go so that you don't have to pay me for it. I can actually give it to you and you can just go merrily on your way and just have fun.
What's your platform? How do they contact you?
Yeah. Hey, if you want to contact me, you can contact me on Instagram. It's Improve My Pronunciation. That's my handle.
Improve My Pronunciation on Instagram. Is that all your handles on Facebook as well?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. I turned the volume down.
Is that only on Instagram or is that on other Facebook channels, etc.?
Well, Facebook is more personal. Right. I do some pronunciation on there, but really I do it heavily on Instagram. Well, not heavily, but my main platforms are Instagram and YouTube. And yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm both.
Brilliant. Okay, so we'll put that in the program notes as well. When it goes out, contact LaDoris with a 30-second and she'll be able to give you some feedback. Yeah. Andy, do you want to say goodbye?
Yes, of course. Guys, happy learning. And remember to contact either Ken, LaDoris, or myself in case that you guys want to improve your English and your experience through it.
Yeah.
Okay. So fantastic. That's it. That's what I got to say.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, LaDoris. Been a pleasure to meet you. And I loved listening to that beautiful accent of yours. You know, really, honestly, you know, I never get the opportunity to listen to speak one-to-one with Americans, you know.
Hey, you're the first person who has said a Southern accent is the best. I'm just going to say it that way. You said it.
I love it. Honestly, I love it. I love it.
I'm just playing. Thank you guys for having me today.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
Anytime.
Take good care. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that's all for this week's episode of the Three Teachers Podcast. We really hope you enjoyed our discussion and the insights shared by our special guest. We want to remind you that you can always reach out to us with any questions or topics or suggestions for future episodes. The contacts will be in the program notes. Don't forget to tune in next week when we will be discussing another fantastic topic related to the English language. In the meantime, keep practicing, don't give up. Fluency is closer than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.